Great, great. Come on, move up. Hey guys, before we get started, I'd like to put a plug in for McLean Teen CBS, Teen Community Bible Study. We started this 13 years ago. It's on Thursday nights. We have it over at the Trinity United Methodist Church, and we have 7th grade up to 12th grade. We've got 60 to 70 teens any given season. And Sweet Connie and I and Jim McElvain and a number of other folks started this 13 years ago. It's been a real blessing. We started it selfishly for our daughter Julie, who was 12 at the time. She's now 25 and a core group leader. So, in fact, my son Jordy is taking my 7th and 8th grade guys tonight while I'm spending the night here with you guys. So it's really totally cool. It's been an incredible blessing to our family. And if you have a teen or you know a teen, please, we'd love to have them. I put some of the flyers right over here. We are doing the Book of Acts, and the kids can come and go because they've got different sports and everything. So we love to have them whenever they can come. So anyway, let me just take a minute. I know a lot of you guys. My name is George Stewart. Sweet Connie and I have been married 31 short years. We've been almost that entire time here in McLean, Virginia. I've been in the commercial real estate business for that entire time. For 10 years, I did retail leasing at shopping centers, Tyson's Corner, Village at Shirlington, some of those. For about 10 years, I had a construction business, building restaurants and retail stores all throughout the United States. And for the last 10 years or so, I was in the development doing developing shopping centers and some office buildings, self-storage stuff down in southern Maryland, whole time living here. So, but anyway, we've got 4 kids. I've been the teaching director over at the Teen CBS class for a good number of years, and have been attending community Bible study for quite some time. So anyway, this is a real privilege. Jerry's a great friend of mine, and I get a chance to address the ladies every now and then. Holly gives me that, and it's a friendly crowd, not as friendly as this crowd, but anyway, so let me open us up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Can I do that? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for these men. I thank you for their lives. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for you working in their lives. I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here and proclaim your word. I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and speak through me into the hearts of my friends. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, how many guys here at home do we have reality TV going on? I mean, has anybody watched any reality TV shows? Anybody? I mean, Sons of Guns. I mean, that's my favorite. I was watching it the other day. I mean, I can't get enough of that. I mean, there isn't a gun big enough or loud enough or whatever. I mean, so for Sweet Connie, Sons of Guns, that's not her deal. And the 3 daughters that we have, they're like, no, no, no. But they really have sort of hooked me into this one reality show, and maybe some of you guys know this show. It's called The Voice, and it's on Monday nights. It's on NBC, and what you have, it's a blind singing auditions. And so you've got 4 judges that are sitting in chairs with their backs to the contestants. And you've got these different they're recording artists. You got Blake Shelton, country music for you country music fans. You've got Christina Aguilera. You've got CeeLo Green. I'm sure you all listen to CeeLo Green. And then you, who's the third guy? Adam Levine. And so, what they do is they're listening to these voices. I mean, they can't look at them. They're listening to these voices, and they're trying to pick out the, unique voice that can then be part of their team. So when they hear somebody that they really like, they hit their button and turn to their chair, and then, if more than one judge hits it, then the contestant gets to pick whose team they're on, and they build a team, and they go on from there. But anyway, I got a little something from YouTube here, and I just want you to take a look. If you've never seen this before, check this out.
Sunshine, blue skies, please go away. My girl has found another and gone away. With her went my future, my life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you,
it not go, Adam. You go, Adam.
That's his parents.
But I wish it would rain. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Hurt so badly, I wanna go. Ain't supposed to cry. Listen, I gotta cry, 'cause crying, ooh, I just wish it would rain. Oh, would just rain, 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 rain. Ah, man, and I'm about to cry.
Come on, Trey.
Yeah, hit it.
So for some reason, Blake didn't hit the button. I don't know. So that contestant gets to pick, you know, who he wants to coach and so on. Well, you know, tonight in our tonight's lesson in the second half of the first chapter of John, we want to talk about the voice. You know, we want to talk about the voice. And we want to talk about God's voice and the undeniable and unique voice and the fact that God is calling us. And the question is whether or not we're going to hit the button and then we're going to turn the chair. So what I've taken a look at our passage tonight, and I've really broken it down to the three natural divisions that I really want to talk about. So verses 19 through 28, I've called that natural division the voice. And in verse 29 through 34, the lamb. And finally in verse 35 through 51, the calling. And guys, in my heart of hearts, at the end of the evening, what I'm really hoping that between this and your lesson, that what I'm hoping that hearing, yes.
Can you repeat those?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. These three natural divisions are the voice, the lamb, and the calling. Verses 19 through 28, verses 29 through 34, and verses 35 through 51. The voice, the lamb, and the calling. And it's really my heart's desire that hearing and answering Jesus' call, that you'll do that, that you'll hear and answer the call of Jesus, which will forever change your life and change the life of others. So let's take a look at this first natural division here, the voice. And let's take a look here at our passage as we start. It says, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and the Levites to ask him who he was. And of course, what we have is we have the high priest, Caiaphas, and Annas, which was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, sending these folks out to find out what's going on, okay? Because what we see in other gospel passage is that all these people were going out from the Judean Christian side and all of Jerusalem to go out and be baptized by John. And they're like, okay, by what authority does this guy have? And so they're sending out to see by what authority John is doing this. And so they ask him, and he did not fail to confess, but confess freely, I am not the Christ. Which is really interesting because in most worlds, you know, when people ask us for our credentials, we're like, well, let me tell you who I am, you know. Boom, 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 boom. But in this instance, John is saying, I'm not the Christ. And they said, well, are you the prophet? Somebody that Moses had predicted would come in Deuteronomy. He says, no. And finally they say, hey, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And what's really interesting here to me is that how does John the Baptist answer him? He says, he answers them with scripture. And so we see in Jesus, you know, when Jesus goes out into the desert to be tempted, you know, three times, you know, Satan tries to get Jesus to sin. And every time, what does Jesus do? He responds with scripture. And so that's exactly what John does here. He says, in the words of Isaiah, I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now, you all probably covered some of this in your lesson and so on, but whenever a king would go out beforehand, they would send out road crews ahead to, and I learned something very interesting tonight about these carriages, to make the roads straight and smooth, because these carriages were apparently very large and of one piece, and they couldn't maneuver. They couldn't go up, they couldn't go down, they couldn't turn sideways. It wasn't like the chariots. And so, anyway, so that's the analogy, and that's what he's saying right here, but of course, it's not the physical roads, is it? It's the spiritual roads. It's the spiritual roads that God told John to go out and prepare. In 1994, It was while I had the construction business. We were building restaurants and retail stores, and we had about 60 superintendents or so. And one of my superintendents, had, not on the job, but he had passed away. And so I was going to his funeral, and he was living in Alabama. He'd lived in Alabama. Funerals in Alabama. And so I went through the Atlanta airport, and I had been a follower of Jesus for a couple of years now. So I'm going through the Atlanta airport, and I'm going from Concourse B to Concourse A. And of course, this, you know, I'm looking way down, you know, where I could see a lot better than in those days. But I could see this guy way down there with this sign in front of him, okay? And I can see that this guy's, it's some kind of scripture, you know? So as I'm walking towards him, God says to me, God puts a call on my heart. He says, "Hey, George, I want you to go and encourage this guy." And, because he's one of our own. And I said, "Lord, I'm not encouraging this guy. I'm not doing it." He goes, Yeah. I want you to go and encourage this guy." I go, "Lord, I'm not doing it. I've been doing a lot of encouraging lately, and I'm not doing it." And so I'm having this conversation with God as I'm walking closer and closer to this guy. And he goes, "No, I'm telling you, this is one of our guys. He needs a little boost," and so on and so forth. I said, "Lord," I said, "look, I got my shoes need to be shined." I said, "I'm going to this funeral." I said, I'm not doing it." So just right as I'm about to get up to this guy, because now I can see he's got this scripture, okay, I there's a hallway. I make a right. I go down the hallway. Three steps. It's a dead end. Just, you know, my shoulders go down. I go, fine. I'll go encourage this guy, okay? So I go back, and I turn around, and I walk up to the guy. He's an older guy. He's, you know, tall guy. He's an old guy. He's a tall guy. And I say to him, "Hi, I just want to thank you for being out here with your sign." And his sign was Romans 10:13, "All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here he is. Okay? He puts one hand on either side of my shoulder. He says, "Son, you're blocking my sign." I said, "Okay, you know, so, okay." I said, "My name's George Stewart." And he said, "My name's W.A. Davis, Sr." I said, "Mr. Davis," I said, how old are you?" He said, "I'm 82. I said, "So how is it that you're out here at the Atlanta airport?" Couldn't do it today, right? "How is it that you're out at the Atlanta airport with this sign?" And he said, "God told me to do it 13 years ago." And I said, "Well, Mr. Davis," I said, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being out here with this sign." He said, "In 13 years, you're the first one that's ever come up and said anything to me." I feel like that, right? So I said, "Geez, Mr. Davis," I said, "you know, thank you." I mean, he showed me his varicose veins. I mean, they went up all the way because he'd been standing on that concrete. I mean, he was in tough shape. And he'd been a gas executive, so whatever the local gas company is in Atlanta, he'd been a gas executive his whole life. But 13 years earlier, God had called him, just like John the Baptist, to be a voice of one calling out there at the Atlanta airport with this sign, "Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so I said, "Mr. Davis," I said, "I'm part of a community Bible study class." I said, "I'll go back and pray for you." He goes, "Would you really?" He goes, "I got these photos of myself." And this is the photo right there. And I said, "Well, is there anything else I can pray for you for?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "You can pray for my boy. My boy's 65 and doesn't know Jesus." Break your heart. I said, "We'll do that." And look at this. Look at this gift that this man, voice of one calling in the desert. How many times have I told this story, guys? Countless times. And he's still being used by God. You know, a lot of you, if somebody came up to me beforehand and said, "Yeah, you know, I've read this book, Blink, by Malcolm Gladwell." You know, he's written some other books, Tipping Point and so on. And basically the premise of this book here is, you know, how quickly we make decisions and so on, and how we process things. Part of the problem, though, is that, you know, we quickly see people like, you know, John the Baptist, or we see guys like W.A. Davis Sr., and we judge these guys. And subsequently, we judge the message as well. In fact, we miss the message. We miss the message because we're judging the messenger. You know, God uses the most unusual ways to get us to hear his voice. In Numbers, in the book of Numbers, he uses an ass, a donkey, you know, to talk to a pagan prophet, Baal. Okay? God uses the most unusual, but you know, but it's always clear. It doesn't matter if it's the tiny voice speaking to Elijah at the top of a mountain in a whisper, or if it's the bright light of Paul on the road to Damascus. God makes it very clear, that call. And you know what, guys? He's calling each one of us. He's calling you and he's calling me. And if we hear that call and we answer that call of Jesus, we'll forever change our lives and those around us. The second natural division is the lamb. We're looking at verses 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I met when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" I used to be in track, so I know those kind of guys. They always lap you, you know. "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed." And he was revealed. He was revealed to John. You know, how did he know? Well, in Matthew 3:15, God revealed it to John and who it would be. "When you baptize my son, you'll know, because that dove will come down and light on him." It was an aha moment for John. John had been listening. John spent a lot of time with God in the desert, and we know that. And so he proclaims the Lamb of God, which is the only place that it's used. So we know from our passage tonight, we know that in Exodus, we had the Passover lamb, right? And so now what we have, if we have the ultimate Passover lamb, we have Jesus, where we can hide behind the blood, where we are cleansed by the blood. And John points that out. Now, John's baptizing with water external, but the Holy Spirit is going to baptize with fire and make that internal transformation, which we know happens in Pentecost, Acts 2, 50 days after Jesus' ascension into heaven. But John knew this because he had been spending time with Jesus. He'd been spending time with God in the desert. How many guys have ever been, you see the red double-decker bus downtown? Anybody ever taken those, whether they're D.C. or I've taken them, yeah, in Paris? And we were with the Quarters and the Colliers this summer, Young Life, kicking off the Young Life inaugural camp in Portugal. So we got travel one around in Lisbon. And it's fun. You know, you sit on the top of the double-decker bus, and, you know, you know a lot of times you get a little tour. You got the little, you know, phone that gives you the tour, but it's like, hey, on the left here is such and such, you know, this point of interest, and on the right is this point of interest, and so on. So, and if you miss a point of interest, you're like, where? Well, John the Baptist, this was not just a point of interest. It wasn't like, you know, you're out in the double-decker bus out in the Judean countryside, and you're like, oh, yes, and here's the Lamb of God, and over here's the Jordan River where we like to baptize. And so, I mean, this was the Lamb of God. I mean, this was a proclamation. I mean, this was the culmination of John's ministry. In Luke 3:2, John heard the word of God. The word of God came to him. "John, go out and prepare the people to receive the king." And he did it. And the Jewish people knew the scriptures. They'd been going to teen community Bible study their whole lives. Okay? So they knew it. And when they knew it, when he said the Lamb of God, when he said the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God shows up in the scene, they get it. And the question is, would we get it? Whether it's the call to follow Jesus or the call to do something for Jesus, would we get it? Only if we're spending time in prayer and time in scripture study. I love Joshua 1:6-9. This is when Joshua was going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Joshua's an aide to servant Moses. That's pretty high in the pecking order. Joshua 1:6-9 says, God tells him, he says, "Joshua, be bold and courageous, because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right, to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let, and here's the key, guys, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's studying Scripture. It's meditating on the Word day and night that's going to allow us to hear that call. We hear the call, we answer the call, we'll forever change our lives and change the lives of those around us. Let's take a look at the third natural division, the calling. Verses 35 through 51. The next day, this is a very busy week, right? I mean, everything is next day, next day, next day. The next day, John was there again with his two disciples. We know who they were. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. He just lost two of his key guys. So what does he think about that? You know what? John's good with that because it was part of his total endgame. He's absolutely fine with that. So then Jesus goes on, and they follow Jesus. Jesus says, "Hey, what do you want?" And because he knows who they are. And they said, "Hey, we want to come hang with you." Actually, more than that, when they said they want to become, you know, followers of his. And then they go, and they tell their Fab Five, right, in their phone plan. So John did his job well. He didn't worry about getting the credit. I don't know, some of you know Jorge Pena. He goes to church here. Gosh, Jorge's a great friend. He's an amazing guy. Jorge's in his early 30s and was a baseball player, came to the States. He was a believer, came to the States, got sucked into the world, became a drug dealer. Actually tithed on his drug profits. He'll tell you that. That was interesting. But his dad kept praying for him. And finally, he gave his life over to Christ again. He rededicated his life. Now, he is the most amazing evangelist I've ever met. So Jorge started to witness at the DMV on Fridays. And I know, that's pretty cool. So what he does is he goes out because he knows that people line up about 20 minutes early at the DMV right over here on Gallows Road. And he brings out coffee, and he goes out, and he says, "Good morning, my name is Jorge Pena, and I want to say, you know, welcome you to the DMV, and I have coffee for you, and we're sharing some coffee, and we'd also like to share the Word of God, if that's all right." So Jorge, I've been over a couple of times, and we've got a little band of brothers there that, you know, each of us has our little role, and so I've been over there a couple of times and had a chance to do my role, and in sharing the gospel message. And it's very interesting. I mean, you know, this is a captive audience for that short, you know, period of time. And, you know, I think we've had as many 30 people. And, you know, some are listening, some not. You know, some cheering us on, some not. We hand out gospel tracts and, you know, pray before, pray after. So, I got a text from Jorge tonight, right before it started, and he said, "Good news, brother, we're expanding. We're going to Alexandria tomorrow, too. And it looks like Gaithersburg DMV is going to be next on the hit list." And these are just other brothers that have caught the vision. You know, does Jorge care? Is he taking credit? No. He doesn't care. He's like John the Baptist. "Look, the Lamb of God." He just wants to point people to Jesus. And you know, by doing so, these people are hearing the call. Jorge heard the call. And by sharing that, other people are hearing the call. But you know, the disciples were not perfect. I mean, you know, we see the disciples. I mean, we see in Luke, I mean, they didn't jump into warp speed and go into the, you know, start evangelizing. Luke 5:11 says they went back fishing. And hearing God's voice and acting on it, it's not always like a straight line. I mean, it's hardly ever a straight line. However, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ to do good works." hey guys, following Jesus or sharing the gospel, okay, it's never convenient, but it's not complicated. It's not complicated. And, you know, it's just brothers telling brothers, friends telling friends, one-on-one, just like Jesus did. But, you know, we got to make sure that we're sharing that because we want people to hear. We want people to answer the call of Jesus and to have their lives and others changed forever. I started that construction business in 1990. It was a recession. People said, are you nuts? I don't know. We didn't have any money. We didn't have much to lose. So we started this construction business, and quite frankly, I was not following Jesus at the time, but God blessed it out of the box. And our very first client was Nordic Track, and we built it over at Pentagon Center. It was 1,200 square feet. The contract was $240,000. They gave us a deposit, two guys out of nowhere. They gave us a deposit for $60,000. That was great. We made $60,000. And they said, hey, we're going to do these things around the country. Do you want to do them? My partner said, no. I said, just a minute, please. The next one was at Woodfield Mall in Chicago. And he said, we don't know anybody in Woodfield. I said, for $60,000, we'll go make friends in Woodfield. So anyway, people said, so, you know, we ended up building restaurants, Maggiano's, P.F. Chang's, Hard Rock Cafes, did all that stuff around here and all throughout the United States. Grew it to about $100 million in 9 years. So anyway, but at the beginning, people called us recession busters. And they said, how do you do it? And we said, we have a sense of urgency about everything we do. Return the phone call, getting the use and occupancy, getting the punch list, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We have a sense of urgency about everything we do. Okay? I mean, I was just fanatical about it. I mean, I'd just be getting people's faces, you know? But we were. So we go to church on Sunday, obligatory. Run into this guy by the name of Jim McElvain. He says, hey, I really think you ought to come to community Bible study. I'm like, stiff-arming him a little bit. So then his wife, Sweet Mary, gets my sweet Connie to join community Bible study, the women's. So now I'm watching Monday Night Football, and on Sunday I'm getting it from Jim. On Monday I'm getting it from Sweet Connie, like, hey, you know, you really ought to do this community Bible thing, you know. You know, really cool stuff about David. I go, I know everything I need to know about David. Thank you. You know, so leave me alone. So there are a couple other things that God was working on my heart in connection with that. So we're at church one night, different church over in Arlington, high ceilings, hard floors, reverberating, two little kids, got four now, but two little kids, sitting at the end of the pew on a Sunday night at 5:00. And I can't tell you what the sermon was about or whatever. But anyway, the priest is like, hey, is God calling you to do something? Well, you better have a sense of urgency about it. I'm like, what? He says, yeah, if God's calling you to do something, you better have a sense of urgency about it. And I'm like, okay, that's enough. You know? And he says it two more times. Is God calling you to do something? You better have a sense of urgency. I just sat at the end of the pew. I mean, I said, okay, Lord. Okay, fine. I surrender. Well, then the priest went on, I'd kid you not, for another eight times. Is God calling you to do something? You better have a sense of urgency. I mean, it's like, whack, whack, whack. I said, Lord, put the 2x4 down. He goes, no, I'm not done with you yet. I mean, you know, eight more times. I kid you not. And so that night I stepped into the offering plate. I said, I give you my life. Didn't know what I was doing. Didn't tell my wife. And the next day I went in the office. Told my partner I couldn't run any more legal expenses to the company. That was a problem. Told my secretary for every time I used the F word, she got a quarter. I think she got $4.50 that day. I called two nuns who needed a soup kitchen built, and I said, hey, I'm going to build the soup kitchen for you. And they said, oh, son, you know, we don't have any money. I said, don't worry, I'm going to build it on my dime. They said, oh, this is a miracle. I go, believe me, sister, there's no miracle. I'm supposed to do this. And I went to community Bible study starting that night with a huge chip on my shoulder, by the way. but I went. And my friend loved me. He's been my spiritual mentor for 30 years, this man. Changed my life. Jesus changed my life. Because I finally answered the call. Changed my marriage. I got 4 kids. You know, I told you 2 of them are at Teen CBS tonight as core group leaders. I got a daughter down in school that loves Jesus, part of it. Joy, our 9th grader. I'm not bragging. My dad. I'm not bragging. I'm saying thank you, Lord. So, guys, I got to ask you, you know, will you choose to press the button, turn the chair, hear the voice, answer the call? I mean, I know you guys have been called. Whether you've been called to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or whether you've been called to go build homes in Nicaragua, or you're called to come alongside a friend that's sick, or you're called to start a Bible study. I don't know. God's calling you. He is calling you. You know He is. You see Him on the caller ID. Those calls don't get dropped, and they don't go to voicemail. Okay? You know this. And the question is, will you choose to answer the call? Gosh, guys, I hope you do. I really. And when you do, buckle your seatbelts, man. Buckle your seatbelts. If you hear the call and you answer the call, you're going to forever change your life and change the lives of all those around you. I love you guys. Let me pray for you. Dear God, thank you for these men. Thank you for the call in our lives. Thank you for John the Baptist. Thank you for W.A. Davis. Thank you for the Jim McElvains of the world. Thank you, Lord, for the unknown people who just call us, that you use, Lord, to call us. I pray, Lord, for the men in this room that maybe, Lord, haven't answered the call of the gift of eternal salvation and love. I pray, Lord, that before they leave here tonight, Lord, that they would answer that call. And I pray for my friends here, Lord, that where you're calling them into something, you're calling them into something, you're calling them out of something. I pray, Lord, don't, please, Lord, encourage these guys, even though they're stiff-arming you, encourage them, Lord. I pray for these men. May they be light and salt, Lord, to everybody you put in their path. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, men. Appreciate it.